I want you to get your Bibles out, and I would like for you to turn to three portions of Scripture. The first two portions we will read through pretty quickly, but we will spend time in the third portion. So the first one that I would like you to turn to is the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And then the second one is going to be 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. So Daniel chapter 9, 1 John chapter 2, and then lastly, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We will dwell in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 today. So again, that's Daniel chapter 9, 1 John chapter 2, and then I'll give you the verse a little bit later, and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, today I want to speak with you a short message on the coming of the Antichrist. The coming of the Antichrist. I believe that we are living on in the days for the arrival of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be a man who is going to be, for the lack of a better way of saying it, possessed by the devil himself. And the world, whether we realize it or not, is being prepared right now for the arrival of the Antichrist. You know, as we look down through the past, and we have heard preachers talk about the coming of the Antichrist in the past, I'm here to tell you that the avenue and the way for the things that we read about to occur are more possible today than they ever have been in the past. I'm talking about one world government, one world currencies. I'm talking about the whole thing is all being prepared right now. And so I want to speak with you just for a little bit today on the coming of the Antichrist. I told you to turn to three portions. The first one is in Daniel chapter 9. And I want us to read verses 25 through... Where's that verse? I think it's 27. And I want us just to consider for a moment what's being said here. Daniel had been praying. He had been seeking the face of God. And God, through angelic intervention, would make known to Daniel many different visions. This is one of the visions given to Daniel with specific numbers. And I want to read that for you. It's verses 25 through 27. It says this, "Know therefore," and this is the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Prince Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with plaza and moat even in times of trouble. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and shall have nothing, and the troops of the Prince who shall come." I want to reiterate that. The troops of the Prince. I want you to say the Prince. Then it says, who shall come. I want you to say, who shall come. It says, the troops of the Prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall come with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And he, I want you to say he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator. I want to read the latter part of verse 26 and 27 again. It says, "And the troops of the Prince who shall come shall destroy the city." And then verse 27, "And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the offering to cease." Now turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I want us to read verse 18. And it says this, "Little children," this is the Apostle John speaking. "Little John, it is the last..." I mean little children, sorry about that. Little children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist will come, even now there are many Antichrists. By this we know that it is the last hour. You have heard that Antichrist shall come, and there are even many Antichrists now. By this we know that it is the last hour. Can you imagine from the time of John till now how late in that hour we are? And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relay to this your people what you have placed upon my heart, for we are living in the very end of days. Lord, I don't share this to try to bring fear upon the people, but rather just to remind the congregation that we are at a very, very interesting time. And so I pray that, Lord, you would help us as we consider all that has been said in your word to understand what that day will be like and for us to be prepared for your coming. For, Lord, you have promised to deliver us from the wrath to come. And so be with us here this morning. Take these words that are yours. Make them have life. Let it bear fruit in our lives, our hearts today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. As I stated earlier, we are living in a time when the fulfillment of Bible prophecy is being set up to take place. There's a scripture that says, as we will read here in a moment, that the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The world is being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. Every Bible prophecy that is necessary to be fulfilled before the coming of Jesus to take his church home has been fulfilled. There are no other Bible prophecies that need to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church to occur. And whenever we read in the scripture about the rapture of the church, specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's where you can read about it, the scripture gives the insinuation about the rapture that we will never know when that day will happen. There is not a man, there is not a woman, not a prophet that can get up and say, God has shown me when the rapture will occur. Any man or woman gets up to tell you that they know when the rapture will happen is foolish to you. Don't give them ear. They are lying to you. For Jesus says, not even the angels, nor even the Son of Man knows the day or the hour. But the scripture has made it clear that the rapture of the church is going to happen when we least expect it. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. It's going to occur when the church is going to be snatched by the hand of the Lord out of this earth to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us with clarity that the dead in Christ will rise first. All believers in Jesus Christ whose bodies are now in the grave will come out to meet the Lord in the air. Those bodies that are now dead will come out of that grave and meet the Lord in the air. And not only will those bodies meet the Lord, those bodies are going to meet the person that housed that body. What are you saying, Pastor James? When a believer dies today in Christ Jesus, their body goes into the grave. But their spirit, their soul, is even now with Jesus Christ. And when the rapture occurs, they are going to be coming with the Lord, and their body will come out of that grave, and they will put on that body again. However, that body, it will be changed. The Apostle Paul described it in 1 Corinthians, the latter chapters, how that this mortal body will put on immortality. This corruptible body, this body that dies, will put on incorruption. The rapture of the church will happen at any time, and I ask you now, are you ready? Because it's coming very soon. We don't know the day nor the hour, but you and I must be ready and waiting. In Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, Jesus warned many in all three of those occurrences in what was known as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus said, don't be those that are waiting but then get tired. and began to go and drink with the drunken, and began to go and foolishly think, well, he's delayed his coming, let me just go and live it up. I'm here to tell you, we must ever be reminded that Jesus is coming back, and be ready. But there is coming a span of time known as the tribulation period. Some of you have seen the movies about the tribulation period. And although some of those things are true, not everything in the movies you see are all legit. But the tribulation period is a span of time of 7 years. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 says that there will be a covenant that will be made for 1 week. This vision that was given to Daniel was known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. 69 of those weeks have occurred. What are you talking about, Pastor James? Weeks? What are you talking about? They are weeks of years. And when you understand the Jewish understanding of these words, it makes sense. There was what was called sabbatical years. Every 7 years would be sabbatical years. Y'all have ever heard of sabbatical years? 7 years, they would even plow the land. They would grow crops. And on the seventh year, they would let the land rest. A sabbatical year. And the Israelites kept this sabbatical year for many, many years. But then they began to forget about it. And so God would eventually take the 70 that they forgot about and bring them back. Sabbatical years are weeks of years. Time frames of 7 years. Weeks of years. And the angel Gabriel told Daniel, there has been allotted to your people, the Jews, to Israel, 70 weeks of years, 70 years. And so the Bible begins to relay, as we saw there in Daniel chapter 9, 69 of those years have come and gone. The 69th year ended when Jesus was riding on the donkey. And we're now headed towards the time of Easter, aren't we? The time of Good Friday, the time of Palm Sunday, and all of these days. Palm Sunday is a celebration of Jesus running down on the donkey towards Jerusalem. Amen. In the Bible, as he was going there to the on the olive or on the Mount of Olives on that donkey down towards Jerusalem, the 69th year had finished. The Bible would say it would be until the time of Messiah the Prince, and he would be cut off. Jesus would enter into his Passion Week, and eventually Jesus would hang and die on the cross. 69 years have been fulfilled, but there is what is known as the 70th week of Daniel. And we are headed, or this world is headed into that week of years, the final 7 years, and we know it as the 7-year tribulation period. Now that 7-year period is an interesting period because we do know when that period starts. Some would say, oh, we're in the tribulation now. I'm here to tell you we aren't. I don't care how rough it is. Amen? Now, some people are experiencing tribulation. I'm talking about they are experiencing hard times. But this world, and the Jews specifically, are not in the tribulation period. That period, if you don't mind turning back to Daniel chapter 9, will start when there is a covenant confirmed between the Antichrist and the children of Israel. Chapter 9, verse 27 of Daniel says, and he, this is the Antichrist, remember he's the prince that shall come, he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, 1 week of years, for 7 years. He will make a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, or 3.5 years into it, he will cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease. Now there's many things within that one scripture that we can understand. Number one is there is going to be a 7-year tribulation and a covenant made between the Antichrist and Israel for 7 years. We know ahead of time that in the middle of that week, or 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to break that covenant, and he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Why does that concern us? Well, in Israel today, and in Jerusalem, today on on the Temple Mount, there is not a temple for the Jews, is there? If you know anything about the Temple Mount or Jerusalem specifically, right now there is what is called the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock is a Muslim temple that is now sitting where the future temple of the Jews will be rebuilt. And so that tells us, for the offering and the oblation to cease, there has to be a temple and the whole sacrificial system of the Jews back in force and in full swing. Today in Israel, in the Temple Institute, you can check it out online, templeinstitute.org. You can look at how that they are rebuilding and putting together all the pieces necessary for the reinstitution of the priesthood, for the rebuilding of the temple, and there's a longing in the heart of the Jews today to see a rebuilt temple there. And so this covenant that is made between the Antichrist and Israel is going to occur in the future, but when that does occur, that is going to be the beginning point of the 7 years. Okay? Now, John told us that in the latter days, Antichrist would come. And he said there's many Antichrists even now. I mean, the false teaching that was beginning to creep into the church at the time of John the Apostle, the latter years of the early church, was horrific. The Gnostics were coming in and they were teaching spurious doctrines. They were saying Jesus didn't even have a physical body. They were saying he was a ghost. They were saying all kinds of weird stuff. They were living in outright rebellion and sin. Rebellion was even starting to impact the church. And John would say there are many antichrists even in the world right now. So that lets us know we are in the latter time. And like I said earlier, if you think about it, John was still alive. And he was saying it was the latter time. Can you imagine where we are at now in regards to the last hour? We're in the very last of the last. Amen? The last seconds of the last hour, if we say it correctly. And so, a covenant is going to be made between the Antichrist and Israel, and then the tribulation period will start. However, you and I will not know who the Antichrist is. Many of us will surmise, will think, who is it? But the scripture seems, as you will see here in a moment, to make it clear that we will not know who he is. Let me tell you why. The reason why is because we will be taken to be with Jesus in the air. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 that the Lord has delivered us from the wrath to come. The events that will occur during the tribulation are going to be horrific. When you've read the book of Revelation and you read about the atrocities that will affect this world during that time, is descriptive of what will take place during the tribulation period. And I'm thankful to God that we more than likely will not have to go through the tribulation. Amen. Because he has delivered us from the wrath to come. Look at 2 Thessalonians now. Chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and concerning our gathering together unto him," that's the rapture, "we ask you not to let your mind be quickly shaken or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as coming as though from us, as if the day of Christ is already here." There were false teachers that were telling the people the time of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, had already occurred. That the rapture had already happened. And so Paul is reassuring their hearts, don't be fooled or be taken or shaken or be troubled by spirit. That means by someone even trying to give a prophetic word. By spirit or by word or by letter, as people were even writing forged letters and forging Paul's name to say that Jesus had already come back and the rapture had occurred. And so he says, don't be troubled in mind. Don't let it trouble you as if the day of Christ is already here. He says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless unless a falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. Well, Pastor James, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. Well, it is. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There were people that were trying to forge letters, as from Paul, to say that the day of Christ had occurred, the rapture. And so it was troubling people because they thought, did I miss the rapture? Why was I left behind, in a sense? And so Paul is reassuring them, look, that will not happen until some specific things will happen. He says, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, what is Paul saying here? The man of sin, this wordage describing this individual, are words describing the Antichrist himself. He is going to be a man that will be sin incarnate. Sin manifest in human shape. Everything about the Antichrist is going to be pure and wicked evil. This man is going to be very influential, and he's going to cause the whole world to wander after him, as we find out in the book of Revelation. But the scripture says, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day will not come until there goes a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed. What is the falling away? When you look up those words in the Greek, it's talking about a time of apostasy, a turning away, a falling away. But it's also interesting, you know, we've always interpreted as if in the latter days there's going to be a great turning away from the faith. Many people are going to be turning from God and rebelling against God and losing their way from God. And to be honest with you, when I hear that, it kind of makes me kind of sad. Thinking, I mean, people are going to be turning away from God in masses? A great falling away? I mean, that's heartbreaking. And then you have some preachers saying there's a great revival coming in these latter days. How many of you heard them on TV? Some of our favorite ones say it. So then what's true? A falling away, turning away from God, or a great revival? But it's interesting when you understand what Paul is saying. He used an interesting word. It's only used twice in the Bible about a turning away or a falling away. Or it can also mean a taking away. Did you hear that? And some interpret it this way, and I like this interpretation because it seems to make clearer sense of the whole of this scripture. He says, there will come first a falling away or a snatching away, and then the man of sin be revealed. And I am convinced, you may not believe me, you don't have to believe what I'm saying in regards to this, but I am convinced in my spirit and my heart that when it says the falling away will come first, it's talking about the taking away of a mass of people. And those people, I believe, are the church of the living God. I believe that the rapture is going to occur before the tribulation period. I concur with the Assemblies of God and their tenets of faith in this one. But there is going to be a great snatching away. In the twinkling of an eye, millions will just be taken to meet the Lord in the air. And I can only imagine what this world will be like without our population within. When I say our population, I'm meaning the church of the living God here. Chaos and confusion and everything's going to break out all through the world. Because there are Christians not only in America, but they're all over the world. Amen? God is saving people. God's Holy Spirit is on the move. There's a great move of God happening even right now in Central and South America. Souls are getting saved. Those doors that have been closed are opening up. Missionaries are being called and they're going. And thank God, He's saving individuals. I believe that there is coming a great move of God in these latter days. And many of those that once attended church will be back in church if they will repent. I believe that lost souls are going to turn back to God soon. Amen? As God's Holy Spirit is poured out in the latter days, just like Joel prophesied. Amen. And as this happens, God is going to be doing such a work, and He's going to, you know what? He's coming for a church, for a bride that is without spot and without wrinkle. A church triumphant. Not a church beaten down. Amen. And in that latter day, and when all that is happening, then all of a sudden there's going to be a snatching away. And then the scripture says, then that man of sin will be revealed, who is the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. What is interesting about that portion of scripture is this, is that this man will one day sit in the temple of God, claiming to be God. And there is only one true temple for God, and it is not here. So that means that there is going to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem in the not too distant future. Amen. You know who the Jews are waiting for to help them rebuild the temple? The Messiah. Who is the Messiah? Jesus. But do the Jews, now I'm not saying every individual Jew, but the majority of Jews today, do they believe Jesus is their Messiah? No, they don't. So they're going to be deceived initially that their Messiah has come, but it's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to give them peace 7 years. And they're going to believe it. You see, they're not waiting for Jesus to come back. They believe he was maybe a good prophet, but he was just a man. They don't believe he was who he claimed to be. Their eyes will be open to who Jesus is in the middle of the tribulation. And so the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God and claim to be God. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation set up in the temple of God, he said, then let those that are on the rooftops get off that house and run to the hills. For the time of tribulation in those years will be so bad that if the Lord hadn't shortened it, all life would have been destroyed. You can read it in Matthew chapter 24. He will claim to be God. What's interesting is this, is that every world religion that is out there is waiting for the next leader in their religion. The Mormons are looking for another manifestation of Joseph Smith. The Hindus are looking for the next God-man to appear. The New Ager is looking for the Mayatra, the one, the Christ spirit, the Christ consciousness to be revealed. The Muslims are looking for the next Imam. So on and so forth. And this Antichrist is going to fulfill that person for all these religions. You see, look what it says here. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or is worshipped so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. This Antichrist is going to try to pull and try to get the worship of every individual on the face of the earth. Let me tell you something. If you and I are here in the tribulation period, would you worship this guy? He's going to demand your worship. He's going to want you to worship him. He's claiming to be God. You better worship me. What's he going to do to you if you don't? You know, some people think, you know, I remember one time I was in the Bible college teaching the Daniel Revelation class to them. And there was this young girl that said, you know what? God's going to protect his people in the tribulation. We're going to go through the tribulation, but we're all going to be in bubbles. He said, you're all going to be in bubbles. You know, you're going to just go through the tribulation. No one can touch you because you're children of God. And I said, where'd you get that in the Bible? Let me tell you something. The scripture makes it clear. The many that get saved in the tribulation are going to pay the price in their death. It's not going to be an easy time. But you are blessed because you've chosen Jesus now. And you're not waiting for then. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 5, Paul says, don't you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? You see, Paul had taught them about this. He had told them about what was coming. And he says, now you know what restrains him, the Antichrist, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness, if you have a King James, it's the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only he who is now restraining him will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him whose coming is in accordance with the working of Satan, with all power and signs, false wonders, and with all deception of unrighteousness among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What Paul is bringing now is that this mystery of iniquity, of a lawlessness, is already at work in the world. Like I said, the world is being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. Hitler came to a generation that was fatherless. And we are living again in a fatherless generation. Thank God for our fathers. Thank God for our husbands, our wives, the families who has a father in the picture. I mean, that is so important to the family's unit. If without the father, the family just falls apart. But fathers are so important. But we're living in a generation where so many children are being raised without their fathers. Isn't that true? And that generation of Hitler was there because whenever the world was in chaos, you remember the Great Depression occurred in the midst of the confusion, the midst of the chaos. They're ready for someone to lead them out of all this trouble. The Antichrist came in that season, and that's the kind of season it will be when the Antichrist appears. You see, there's a restrainer restraining the appearance of the Antichrist. A restrainer. It says, he that lets will let until he is taken out of the way. Or my version says, he that is restraining will keep on restraining until he is removed. And many scholars and those that are learned in the scripture believe that that restrainer is the Holy Spirit within the church. You, me, we are the salt of the earth. Even though the world is chaotic now, we are still salt. Amen. We are still helping to make this world manageable. But when the church and the Holy Spirit working through the church in the way that he is now is not there, then will be the manifestation of the Antichrist to the world. It shows very clearly, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working, verse 7, only he who now restraining him will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit. But where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In you, in me. We are the temple of the living God. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart. Oh, but I thought, Pastor, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Well, yes. Yes, he is everywhere. But he only dwells in a temple. Did you know that? He is everywhere. He's God. But he only dwells in a temple. You are that temple. Remember the temple in Jerusalem that we were talking about earlier? It's destroyed. It's not there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now dwells within you and me. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so when the temple is gone, and the Holy Spirit working through the church in the way he is now, then chaos is going to break out into the world. And the answer, or the one with all the answers, will be this man of sin. And it's going to be a time on the earth that's going to be, like wordage has been given, it's a tribulation period. It's going to be awful. The events that are going to begin to occur are going to be beyond what we can even imagine or think now. Here in America, we live in peace, don't we? For the most part. But that time is going to be a very scary time. And the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And so, my sermon today was meant to be one to remind us that he is going to come. The Antichrist is coming, but also to remind us Jesus is coming to take us first. Amen? Are you ready? These events are going to occur. You know, there are skeptics that would say, just like Peter called them, scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? Things continue as they always have. And you're going to have the skeptics, the scoffers. They're going to say, nah. It was a prophetic word Peter was giving. In the latter days, they're going to say, no way. Those religious people have been saying it for years. But I'm here to tell you it's true. And I just ask you, are you ready? Amen? Am I ready? Are we ready for the coming of Jesus? We should be looking forward to that day. If our hearts are ready, we're saying, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. Amen? But if there's that fear, like, there's a fear, then there's got to be something that we've got to get right with our relationship with God. Because if you're at peace with God, there is no fear. The Bible says there's no fear in love. Amen. Are we ready? Well, this is between you and the Lord, between me and the Lord. Amen. Let's stand today.